Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Bosses. That's where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek movies, news, and culture. I'm your host for the day, the Big Boss, and I'm here with my fellow geek guru, the Professor. What's up, bro?
What's going on, brother? What's happening?
Man, feeling good, feeling great, coming off of the high of last week's episode. That was awesome. A good one. Special shout out to the man, Jay, who we have now dubbed... Nah, we'll give you that later.
Yeah, we'll wait on that.
Yeah. Almost gotcha.
Yeah, Jay will be returning to join us every once in a while. So it was awesome for him to come out last week. Got some very nice comments on it from some people talking.
Yeah.
We'd like to hear some more of them. So we'll definitely have Jay back.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, man. I mean, got a couple things in geek movie news and. And we got some reviews for you. Some new trailers came out. We're going to talk about that. And got a couple things. So we'll just go through it and, you know, we'll discuss our post-war, you know, thoughts. And
yes.
Yeah. And let you guys go back on your business. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. So first up, we got the weekend box office coming in. And there's really no surprise here. Avengers Infinity War really hitting it. For the second weekend, they have already crossed the $1 billion mark worldwide.
It's frightening. It still, I don't think, has opened in China yet.
Nope, hasn't opened in China yet. But the China numbers will possibly be getting next show because I believe it comes out on the 11th in China. So look forward to that and seeing how those numbers turn out, man. It's going to be crazy, man.
Did a million more than the next movie on the list in one weekend. It did 100 million more in the weekend.
Than yeah,
the next movie down. That's just frightening.
Yeah, second weekend out, and it's doing this. And number two, Overboard. This is his debut weekend. Made 14.7 million. I mean, it's literally like it's literally 100 million more. Infinity War made than this movie. There's a big gap between first and second place. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised that Avengers pulling these numbers. Really surprised that Overboard is pulling the numbers that it pulled. I literally haven't seen any trailers, any advertisement for this movie. It's a remake of, what, the 1980s movie?
Something like that, yeah. I think it's the late 80s with the...
The legendary couple, Goldie Hawn
and Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Hollywood royalty, man.
Man, I haven't seen that movie. I couldn't tell you how long, but
yeah,
I had no idea there was a remake coming until I saw something somewhere that said Overboard. And I'm like, is that a? And I look at the poster that was in the image. I'm like, that's got to be a remake because it's the same poster.
Yep. Yeah. So surprisingly enough, they decided to remake that one and.
I don't really know that we needed a remake of that one.
Right, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. And then, you know, A Quiet Place is rounding it out in the third spot, fifth week, and it's still in the top three. That's incredible.
That's impressive, yeah.
Yeah, it's like its fall off is only 30% for this week. That's crazy. And it's God, I don't even know the budget was $17 million. It's made total domestically $160 million. That's not even including what it's making worldwide.
Right.
Needless to say, they are working on a sequel, so they earned it. So
yeah, no kidding.
It
got great reviews. I didn't get around to seeing it. I'm not really a horror movie guy in general.
Right.
But, you know, look, I didn't really want to see anything other than Infinity War the past couple of weeks anyway. So so there wasn't a real doubt. But I've heard it's very good. So at some point, I would like to see it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm interested in checking it out. I'll probably, you know, with MoviePass, I can do whatever I want as far as movies are concerned. So.
Yeah. Well, you're not kidding. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's that. Pretty round box office. Predictable, very much expected. So, yeah, congratulations to Avengers Infinity War and Marvel Studios for 10 years of straight epicness. So
it's probably going to be there for another, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Right? 2 weeks till Deadpool. So
yeah.
Yeah, Infinity War will dominate the box office until Deadpool comes out. And Deadpool will probably take it over for that opening weekend.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to that. I have not gotten my tickets yet. It's only because AMC is very evil in the way that they release their pre-orders. So all it's like three showings. There's three showings for the AMC that's near me. And it's like, really, guys? So now I'm like, instead of getting an official release date for these pre-ticket sales, I gotta wait until like the week of, wake up Tuesday morning super early and try and see if I can get me some standard digital tickets for this movie, because they don't want to give me any show times.
Telling you, that's why I go that Friday, and I go in the early afternoon, early morning if I can, because there's no problem getting tickets and there ain't nobody there.
I'm going to see that. I'm going to see it on the Thursday. Got some work peeps coming with me. We're gonna grab some chimichangas before we go up there, you know, in true Deadpool fashion. I did this with the Deadpool release, too. Went to go get some chimichangas. I feel like it's an event for me. I love Deadpool. Deadpool is, like, one of my favorite Marvel characters. So, I feel like it's my responsibility to be like Deadpool for the day. I might even pull out a hoodie and a mask. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Great. I've been doing the podcast by myself for a little while. These gentlemen, the boss gets himself arrested and beaten up on the corner trying to go see Deadpool.
I'm saying. Oh, man. Maybe I'll leave the mask at home.
Yeah, I would leave the mask part off. And maybe not wear the hood on the hoodie.
I mean, in my favor, the hoodie's going to be bright red. How threatening can I be in a bright red hoodie? People are going to recognize me.
Just want to show the blood as they beat the tar at
you. Oh, man. All right, let's dive into some geek news. Got some trailers out today. TV, Netflix, and Hulu. We got the Luke Cage trailer. Season 2 trailer coming out, man. And this thing was something to behold.
It was good. It was real good looking.
Yeah. Starts off with Luke Cage in your face, like, yo, you want to see me out in these streets? I'm here. Yep. I was like, oh, man, we getting a different kind of Luke Cage in this one.
Getting an aggressive Luke Cage in this one, for sure.
It's like, yo, the first season of Luke Cage, he was like, oh, man, you know, I don't want to be out here in the light. You know, I'm just trying to protect my city. Oh, man. Now he's just like, yo, I'm taking on all newcomers. What's up?
That's right.
This is definitely hero for hire Luke Cage.
Yes, this is definitely more like your classic Luke Cage who's not afraid of nothing.
Yeah.
He's going to be walking in the streets just like, what? Do something.
Yeah. That was all good and well until Bushmaster came into the scene on this trailer.
Knocked boy the f- out. I want to say it, but I didn't say it. Knocked him the hell out. I mean, with quickness, no less.
Oh. Yeah, he gave him that capoeira move.
Yeah.
A little windmill. Knocked him out like he was late. I was like, oh, man. This is definitely a big bad, I'm saying.
Saw that scene, and all I could hear was Aze's voice in my head. Damn! All I could hear is my man saying it like he used to say.
Yup. Oh, man. Yo, I'm telling you, I'm so ready for Luke Cage to come out.
Soon. Very soon.
Yeah, what do we got? June 22nd? Is that coming out?
22nd, yeah.
Man. So look for that.
The other thing, actually, that I just now realized that I probably should have had you throw in here is the end of this month, May 26th, I think, is the new season for Arrested Development.
Oh, nice.
It's coming for Netflix, too.
So
that I'm definitely looking for. I loved that show. I know a lot of people didn't like the new Netflix season and whatnot, but I love the show in general. I thought season 4 was okay.
Yeah.
Season 1 through 3 are fantastic, so I can't wait to see season 5.
Didn't they remix season 4? They said they had to change it around so that the timeline was right or something?
Season 4 was a weird timeline, because like, rather than do the show like a linear show like they did in the first three seasons, they did it from like each show was a different perspective of a different character for the same timeline.
Oh, so, I see.
Like, it was all this, like four shows in a row would all be the same day, but one show would be, like, from Michael Bluth's perspective, the next show would be from, like, Job's perspective, the next one would be from Buster's perspective, so it was how the stories all melded together at the same time, but it did get a little confusing.
Yeah.
Because you're like, didn't they just do this? And you're like, oh, that's right. It was his episode last time they were doing this. This was a little weird. It was okay, but it was a little weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they'll probably do it more linear this time because a lot of people complained about that last time.
Yeah, yeah. It's like from what I heard, I thought that they were gonna I think they said season four got remixed and they did it so that it was lined up correctly. So I might have to check that out. I definitely want to rewatch season four before five comes out.
Yeah.
So yeah,
kind of see where things were. But yeah, that show's hilarious. So
yeah, I love that show.
You know, Russo's did that, so that's why there's all these little throws to Arrested Development and all the movies. You know, the stair car is in Civil War in the airport scene, and Tobias Fünke and his blue makeup is in Infinity War. It's pretty awesome how they throw that stuff in.
Yeah, yeah. I always like those little nods back to other prior works and stuff like that.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, so let's dive into some movies news. We got some, we got two trailers, a music video and a teaser.
Yeah.
So Deadpool 2 releases this Ashes music video by Celine Dion, and she is creating the theme music for Deadpool 2, and it is hilarious. I love it.
It is pretty funny. I had seen it before. I didn't watch the whole thing through. I did watch the whole thing through before we started today, and it is pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
It's just so stupid. You know, it's typical Deadpool fashion. It is completely stupid, but it's very, very funny.
Yeah. So if you ever get a chance, I mean, we got it up on the show notes on the webpage for this podcast. Check it out. You get to see Deadpool in fierce action with his high pumps doing his thing on the stage. we know Ryan Reynolds doesn't really have that talent, but, you know, it's still fun to watch anyway.
Yeah, it's still very funny, yeah. And he is in it at the very end. He does, you know, it is definitely him in the suit at the end.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
So it's still pretty funny.
Yeah. And then next up, we got a Robin Hood teaser. Looks like there's a new take on Robin Hood coming out this year, and it's starring Taron Egerton and Jamie Foxx and Jamie Dornan. So, it's looking like it's shaping up to be very King Arthur-esque. I'm sure it's going to be a fun time in the movies. I'm sure Rich would love this.
Rich would probably love this. It does look like it's going to be just a stupid action flick, like not a lot of story to it. Like I said to you when we were talking about it offline, it does look like he should be turning around and saying, "You have failed this city," every time I see Robin Hood. He looks just like the Arrow from the first season of Arrow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, we all talk about, I like Taron Egerton. I liked him in the Kingsman, both movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a Jamie Foxx fan by any stretch. Like, I like him in a couple things. I liked him in Ray. I thought he was great.
Right.
He portrayed Ray Charles. I hated him as Electro.
He's good at his dramatic pieces, like the dramatic stuff. He's very Ray. He was really good in.
You know, he was really good in Baby Driver, but his character was supposed to be kind of over the top, so that's kind of why I was okay with it there.
Right.
This, he's kind of trying to be like the serious. Seems like he's supposed to be the serious mentor character.
It's like they took the character from Horrible Bosses and put him in this movie.
Yeah, only he's not supposed to be a doofus. He's supposed to be serious, and I just don't know that it's going to work.
Yeah, he just seems so out of place for me.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, look, and this is going to be awful to say, but it's a medieval movie. Don't have a whole lot of black folk in medieval movies when it comes right down to it.
I mean, you got the Moors, but it's just like, I expect more gravitas with the Moors. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, I expect more gravitas. I expect maybe a little bit of an accent. I don't know. I just felt like Jamie Foxx felt like a man out of time.
It kind of feels like he's playing Jamie Foxx with face tattoos and, you know, training Taron Egerton in archery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he doesn't seem like a Moorish type character. That's an excellent point with the Moors, but doesn't seem like he's going to be that kind of role. So, it does definitely seem a little out of place.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'll probably go see this, but I'm not in a rush. So, you know, pace yourself with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of Jamie Foxx, let's jump into some Spawn news. All right. So, the role was officially offered by Todd McFarlane to Jamie Foxx. And so the movie, the Spawn reboot is happening. They're hoping for a 2019 theatrical release. There's some good things that I'm hearing about this movie. I mean, the fact that Blumhouse Productions is the production company behind the Spawn reboot makes me feel really positive about the theatrical release. I think that it's going to be very much the true horror action flick that we've been wanting for Spawn for years. I mean, I'm not sure about Jamie. I know that he's a pretty decent dramatic actor. I don't know if that's going to carry well into Spawn. Like we were talking before, I know, Professor, you said, you know, you don't really see Jamie Foxx as an action star. Right. I haven't seen any of his action movies, so I can't even really tell you. So it's just like, I'm hype about the production. I'm hyped that Todd McFarlane is writing and behind this production. And I'm excited for a 2019 theatrical release. I'm not sure if I'm if I'm on board with Jamie Foxx or not. So
I can only think of like two, maybe three action movies he was in. The one was it Stealth?
Mm.
And even in that, he's only a fighter pilot, so he's definitely right. Not really an action star.
Yeah.
Then there was the one with, I think it's Law Abiding Citizen with Gerard Butler. It's kind of an action movie, but he's playing a lawyer.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
Forced into the action role.
Yeah, Gerard's doing all the action.
He's doing all the action, yeah. Wasn't there a Tom Cruise movie that he was into that was kind of an action-y type movie?
Collateral Damage?
Collateral Damage. That's
Or was it Miami Vice?
No, I think it was Collateral Damage is the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
And it wasn't terrible, but he doesn't come up. Like, he's a funny guy. There's no doubt about that. I think Jamie Foxx is a very funny guy. I think he's good in the comedy roles. Like, he's hilarious in Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, his role in those movies is very funny. I really liked him in Baby Driver, but he's an over-the-top character, which, you know, fits. I don't see Spawn as an over-the-top character before he becomes Spawn. You know what I mean? He's supposed to be a normal military guy.
Right.
So I don't know how Jamie Foxx is going to fit as that character. You know what I mean? It was different when it was, you know, your boy Michael Jai White.
Yeah.
You know, in the first one. First movie's not that great, but he's pretty good as that character, you know, that action character, so...
And I always thought, like, legit, he could still do it. You know what I'm saying? The guy's still in peak condition.
Oh, he's frightening.
Yeah. He's frightening. I feel like he's in better shape now than he was when he did the original Spawn. So, you know.
Very well could be.
So, like, I mean, I remember seeing him on Arrow when he was playing Bronze Tiger, which I thought was a great role for him.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yep. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, okay, we'll see how it goes, because Jamie could come around and blow our minds.
He could. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. He could be really surprising. He could do really well. I just don't. I mean, look, there's a lot of things I don't see that I turn out to be completely wrong on when they come to the screen, so you never know.
Yeah.
But this one just seems a little odd to me.
Yeah. Unless
if he even takes it.
Yeah, if he even takes it. Yeah, he was offered the role. I didn't hear anything about him taking the role. So, yeah, there's that. And then to round out our movie news this week, we just got word that Sherlock Holmes 3 is definitely going into production, and they're hoping for a 2020 release date. So, yeah. Cool.
Was disappointed that there was no Holmes reference in Infinity War, but there wasn't a lot of time to squeeze one of those in. So
yeah. I'm sure we'll get one in the deleted scenes.
In the bloopers or deleted scenes, there's going to be something, I imagine, we'll kick in, which will be funny. But
yeah.
It is what it is.
So, you know. Hopefully we'll get some more news, find out what the story is going to be. Are we going to still be following? Two end with Moriarty? Two was Moriarty.
Two was Moriarty, as I recall. It's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, I believe it was Moriarty.
Yeah. So I don't know if I don't think he did. I think he like ran off at the end. So hopefully there's more Moriarty, because I always like that.
Yeah.
It's like classic. That's like Batman and the Joker. That's what that is.
That's basically what that is. Yeah, it's almost exactly the same.
So, Yeah, so any more news we get on that, we'll let you guys know. But yeah, that's all we got for Sherlock Holmes news. So yeah, nothing geek related really coming out this week. But we do have two movies coming out. Nothing in TV, nothing in gaming. But we got two movies coming out. Breaking In, starring Gabrielle Union, directed by James McTeague. The description goes like this. A woman fights to protect her family during a home invasion. I mean, I saw the trailer, and it looks pretty intense. Now, you know, me and Professor were talking about this. Now, the only thing that's really going to floor me is if I don't, like, if we don't see any, like, training or any, like, oh, she's an operative or some kind of CIA agent or some kind of soldier.
Right.
That's kind of just, like, retiring with her family. I'm going to need to see that because the moves that she's pulling out in this trailer look very skilled.
Yes. Yeah. There's a little more to it than that description, ultimately, when you watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Looks like her father has died. They're going to his house to get it in order to be sold. They find all kinds of computer equipment and security stuff in the house that the mm-hmm. father was hiding something. Because at one point, there's a voiceover her saying something effective, "What did you do, Dad?" or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she goes outside and she's on the phone with somebody. And the next thing you know, her kids get grabbed by people in the house. She gets grabbed, you know, and she turns around and she beats the hell out of the guy who grabs her, stabs him with a broken wine glass.
Nice.
And the rest of the trailer is her pulling off these, like, ninja moves left and right, taking these guys out, scaring them. You know, these are like, it's like an entire crew of guys that are, like, armed to the teeth, and she's taking them all out one by one.
Yeah.
A la, you know, John McClane. So there's definitely a little something I'm hoping we're not seeing here. Because if it's just, because, you know, at one point there's the line, you know, never underestimate what a mother will do to protect her children.
Right.
Which is all well and good. But no mother is going 0-60 ninja to protect her children the way this trailer runs when you watch it.
Yeah.
I think without some kind of training.
Yeah, that's like, for me, that is a major pet peeve in any type of action film. Like, you have your main character seemingly living a normal life, and then all of a sudden, they become an expert in close quarters combat.
Yeah.
And that's like, I cannot go with that. Like, you need to show me that there has been some kind of training set up. Like, even if she isn't an operative, if her dad is and decided to train her when she was a child, I expect that stuff to stick with them. You know what I'm saying?
Something she learned from him as she was growing up. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But like,
I will.
Yeah, I can't abide by a character that's seemingly living a normal life becoming a kung fu master within the next three scenes.
I will always go back to, now of course you never expect it to be good because it's an Uwe Boll movie, but I will always go back to House of the Dead. I think it was House of the Dead, where it's a whole bunch of kids on an island and these zombies attack them. And the kids spend 45 minutes running around scared for their lives, not sure what they're going to do, thinking they're all going to die. And they find a trove of weapons. And the next thing you know, each kid is a Navy SEAL operative with expert marksmanship.
I blame Call of Duty.
Dual wielder. Yeah, basically. You know, I remember the one kid's got like a sword and he's hacking these things up. Like he's spinning around like he's, you know, the bride in Kill Bill. And the one girl who had been the most feeble girl the entire movie and the most scared of everything is dual wielding like Mac-10s and blowing everything away that you can possibly get to. And you're like, really? Like, this is just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so, just, it's a terrible, terrible movie. When they do that stuff, it's like, you just totally lost it.
Yeah. And, so no repeats again, of that. Yeah.
Again, it's Uwe Boll, so there's no credibility to begin with, but you lose any credibility as soon as you start doing that stuff.
Right, right. So hopefully it doesn't end like that or develop like that. So the trailer, I'm interested. I definitely want to check it out, especially since I know, like, Gabby Union's going to be doing the Bad Boy spinoff TV series.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how she does as an action star. So, you know, this will be a good one to see. I'm probably not going to see this one, like, opening day, but I'm definitely trying to check this one out. And then the next movie we got up here is Life of the Party. And this one is starring Melissa McCarthy and Jillian Jacobs. It's directed by Ben Falcone, which is, that's her husband, right?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
I think they've done like countless movies together, but he normally directs and she normally stars. So description is, dumped by her husband, longtime housewife, Deanna turns regret into reset by going back to college. Winding up at the same school as her daughter, Deanna plunges headlong into the campus experience, embracing the fun, the freedom, and the frat boys. So, what was that Will Ferrell movie?
Oh my God, you're my boy Blue.
Old school. Yeah, old yeah. School. Oh man, wasn't Wild Dog on that?
It might have been.
Yeah. Old school. So that's what this feels like. But it's probably it's still some heart, I guess, in it, and there's gonna be some laughs. I like Melissa McCarthy. I know a lot of people don't. I enjoy her.
I'm not a fan.
Cause what was that? What was that last movie with Kristen Bell? Boss or something? It was called something, but
I don't know.
I thought that was hilarious with Peter Dinklage in there.
This movie will make $8,300.
Dang!
I've seen the trailers. It looks terrible.
Oh,
it looks awful, dude. There's nobody in the world who believes that she's going to go back to school, straighten her hair, and all of a sudden college frat boys are going to be hitting on her like crazy. It's just not. That would be like, you know, me going back to school and college girls hitting on me. That's not going to happen either. Like, no, this just isn't. It's just, I can't. I don't know how. And the only reason the movie gets made is because it's her. You know, there's no other reason, because they think she's going to make money, and it'll make some money.
Right.
But it just looks awful.
Man. I don't know, man. I'm going to check this one out. I'm definitely going to check this one out.
Well, you can take that bullet for the boss of death.
I'll let you guys know how it was.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that is it for the geek news of the week. So let's take a little break, and we will come back with some post-war thoughts.
Yes.
All right, after the break.
See you.
Hey, what's up, Boss Fam? Big Boss here. And as much as the professor and I love giving you the geek news of the week every week and discussing all things geek culture, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least try to use our platform to do a little good in the world. And that's why the professor and I, along with some of our friends, will be working together with ExtraLife.org to raise money for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Extra Life unites thousands of gamers around the world to play games in support of their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. And since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids. Extra Life is a 24-hour fundraising and gaming marathon to support these Children Miracle Network hospitals. And on game day, November 3rd of this year, the boss's desk will be joined by thousands of gamers and dedicate an entire day, 24 hours, to play games and get donations from friends like you. 100% of your donations go to our local hospital, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And together, we can make a difference for sick and injured kids. Your donation is 100% tax deductible and will make miracles happen for families who desperately need them. So go ahead, click the link down below, the donate button down at the bottom of our podcast page, and it'll take you to a webpage that'll allow you to make a safe and easy online donation to our cause. And now let's get back to the show. All right, and we're back. So let's dive right into the bonus level. We'll talk about our post-war recovery. You know, just some remaining thoughts and things that we've viewed about, you know, Infinity War and, you know, how it's made us feel. So, you know, if you don't want any spoilers, I will give you that spoiler warning right now if you haven't seen it. What I'll also do is I'll put in the show notes and the description at what point you need to skip to so that you can get to the rest of this and you can get straight to geeking out and, you know, our reviews and stuff. So, yeah, there you go. All right, spoiler warning has been issued. There you go. You're welcome.
Now you know.
So post-war recovery, man. So I've been hearing that Doctor Strange, supposedly during the fight with Thanos, there's a specific point where either when he hands the time stone to Thanos, there's like a glimmer of a smirk or something where he's like, all right, it worked, as a part of this one shot plan that he had.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it that way. The only time I thought, you know, as you mentioned it, that it might have happened is when he actually disappears.
Yeah.
At the very end, when he says, you know, this was always going to happen or whatever.
Yeah. Or like, we're in the end game now.
Yeah. Maybe there was something there, but I don't remember him smirking at all as he's giving the stone to Thanos.
Yeah.
Or why he would, because Thanos is looking right at him.
Yeah.
Like, that would be kind of the giveaway that, hey, I did something. You know, would kind of be a giveaway. So I don't remember seeing that. Now, look, I'm going to go see it again, so I'll look for it this time. But I don't remember seeing that this time around.
Yeah. Speaking of Endgame, so we were talking with our buddies in the group chat trying to figure out, you know, we were talking about Avengers Infinity War, and our buddy JR, he comes out and says, I got Avengers 4 subtitle for you. It's going to be Endgame. So what do you think? It's going to be Endgame?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know.
Considering that it's a direct quote from, you know, Doctor Strange, and he's like, he says it kind of puts emphasis on it. After that whole fight with Thanos, he gives him the stone. He says, we're in the end game now. It's kind of like highlighted. So I could see it possibly being that, but I felt like basically the big thing that the Russo brothers have been tweeting is that if we give you the subtitle for Avengers 4, it would have spoiled Infinity War.
Right.
And Endgame is not much of a spoiler to me. So I don't know if it's going to be something much more epic than that or if it's going to be Endgame. But, you know, I'm interested to see what this title of Avengers 4 is going to be. They're probably not going to release it until it leaves theaters.
Yeah, I don't think they would have given any kind of hint during the movie, you know, and any kind of push towards it.
Yeah.
That might give it away. So I think it's going to be something completely different, to be very honest with you. Yeah. I don't have any idea what I think it's going to be, but I think it's going to be something different than Endgame. I don't think Endgame's going to be it.
Yeah. And then, you know, we were talking a little bit before the end of the break about, or during the break about the Hulk's story arc. So, you know, it's been hinted and told before that the Hulk was going to have a 3-movie story arc that we were going to follow. We followed him in Thor Ragnarok. There was going to be an arc that we follow in Infinity War, and I guess is going to be wrapped up in Avengers 4. So I guess the argument is that Hulk really didn't shy away from the fight. And now this is actually coming from one of the Russo brothers, I think. It was like an interview or something that was going on. So it's like the Hulk didn't actually shy away from the battle. He just was tired of carrying Bruce Banner on his back when everything gets a little dodgy. So whenever everything's get a little bleak, Banner just assumes that the Hulk is going to show up. And so he's like, no, I'm not trying to come out there. You gotta take care of some things on your own, Banner.
Yeah, it's time for you to kind of watch your own back. Yeah. It's kind of what he was saying. And I think you might be right. It might have been one of the Russos now that you mention it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I particularly go with that.
Yeah.
Thought, I mean, look, they're the one who wrote the movie, so they're going to know better than me, obviously.
Right. But he looks shook.
He does. And I think in his quote, he even says, you know, the Hulk's been beat up before and he still comes back. Yeah, but he's never been, in the movies, he's never been beat down like that.
He was handled.
Like, you know, look. Hulk is strongest one there is been the thing he's always said.
Right.
He gets in a fight with Thanos, and the first thing that happens is his hands get ripped off Thanos like he's just a kid.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to it. And he proceeds to beat the tar out of the Hulk, you know, with a quickness. So I tend to lean towards the thought. Now, again, I didn't write it, so whatever he's saying is going to be the right way to think about it. But I tend to lean towards the idea that he was scared to come back out because he got beat up so bad before.
Yeah.
But you never know. You know, we may not know. They may not necessarily address that, or they might.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, I think that next iteration of the Hulk we're going to see is the Intelligent Hulk with Banner in charge in the Hulk body. You know, that would make kind of an interesting character, you know, for the third time around. So,
yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold you. I like that idea of the intelligent Hulk. You know, I watch a lot of the animated series too, just to kind of keep up and see, like, from the kids' angle what they're looking at. Especially when it comes to like Spider-Man and the Hulk, those are like the biggest characters that are going right now. And then they have like the Avengers arc, which they're doing. But like the Hulk has his own show right now, which I didn't even know was gonna. I didn't even think was gonna be really successful. But it's called Hulk and the Agents of Smash, and it's hilarious because like it's basically like a Big Brother-esque type of show. And so like there's video diaries, and the Hulk is like talking to the camera. And he's like, you know, I just really wish they would hear me when I'm telling them this. And it's like, it's hilarious. And he's having these full-fledged conversations. There's no, like, broken speech patterns. There's, like, me, Hulk, me want them to live. It's like, I really want these guys to just, like, pay attention to me when I tell them, like, hey, you need to do this. You need to do this. It's hilarious. So if we get a version of that kind of Hulk, I'm down for that.
I would ultimately love to see Gray Hulk.
Oh man, Mr. Fix-It.
Mr. Fix-It. He's not as strong as Jade Jaws, as they'll call him, but yeah. He's a lot more underhanded.
That boy is grimy.
I love Mr. Fix-It. That character is always one of my favorites as the Hulk. I would love to see that. I don't think we will, but I would love to see that.
Yeah, I don't think the world ready for that one.
No, I don't think so either.
That's Netflix Hulk.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. That is that Mr. Fix-It would be its own Netflix series.
Yup. Oh, man. Let me see. Was there anything else I wanted to... Oh, yeah. So, you know, they kind of went... I believe the Russo brothers kind of confirmed in a series of interviews that, you know, the Soul Gem, the young Gamora that we see in the Soul Gem is Gamora.
Yeah, she's alive.
Alive in the Soul Gem. So, you know, it kind of confirms some of the suspicions that we had that, you know, that the Soul World is going to exist in the MCU. And it's probably where everybody that faded is going to reside come Avengers 4.
In some way, shape, or form. Maybe.
Yeah.
Of course, they also, one of them also just came out in one of the Russos and announced the fate of the Galaga Man from the first Avengers. Saying, oh, his fate is he was snapped out of existence just as he was getting a high score, his best high score in Galaga, and he got blinked out of existence.
Dang.
It's like, really? Like, you really needed to add that in there. You know what I mean? Come on now. It's funny, but...
Yeah. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Oh, I'm trying to think. You have any post-war thoughts, Professor?
You know, it's hard for me to have post-war thoughts because I'm not done with it yet.
I know, right? Like, we're really not finished yet. I like all the interviews that I've been hearing, but I definitely want to get another look-see, so...
I've seen it 3 times now, and I'm going for a 4th time, which is probably the most I've ever gone back.
I'm telling you,
to see a movie.
You about to break my record? You think you about to break my record?
I don't know. Maybe you went a whole bunch of times for that Black Panther. So
yeah,
I have some work to do if I want to go break the record. But I think the most I've ever gone to see a movie in the theater was 3 times, and I think I did Winter Soldier 3 times.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
I know I did. Did I do Force Awakens 3 times just because my mom wanted to go? I think that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw Force Awakens 3 times just because. Went once by myself, once with a buddy of mine, and then my mom wanted to go see it. So I think I saw that 3 times too. But this is going to be at least 4, if not more, beyond, you know, this week. So.
Yeah.
It's that good for me. I really enjoyed it that much. So I will go see this multiple times. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I mean, it's just so well done. There's just so much to see. It's hard to catch it all in one sitting because there is a lot that goes on in the movie. And if you blink so and you're going to miss something. There's a lot of setup. There's a lot of action.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts. You know, and you can catch it. If you sit and you pay attention, you'll catch everything. But if you go a second time, you're always going to catch something you missed the first time. So
yeah.
So yeah, definitely multiple times for me. Then I can, you know, maybe give some real thoughts on it once I've seen it.
Yeah.
One, three times.
Yeah, so that's it for the post-war thoughts. I mean, we'll let you guys know more stuff as we finish out the viewings or whatever, and any new news that comes out. So we'll let you guys know. But let's move on to geeking out. Personally, I want to talk, like, all right, so I'm geeking out right now about a few things. Well, all right. Yeah, I'm geeking out about two things. I started watching Spider-Man Homecoming again, and I love that movie. I love it. Oh my gosh. Like the jokes still hold and they still hit. Like, I have such a blast watching that movie. So
yeah. I just, you know, look, it's I've made no what's the word I'm looking for? I haven't hidden the fact that Spider-Man has always been my favorite Marvel character.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy the way that Holland does it. He's just so good.
Yeah.
He's the first one in my mind who's been good at both characters.
Yeah.
He's good as Parker and he's good as Spider-Man. You know, when you look back at the other two, you know, Garfield was kind of good as Spider-Man, but he wasn't really good as Parker. Whereas Maguire was pretty good as Parker, but he wasn't really that good as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, so neither one of them really had both sides. Holland has both sides down perfectly.
And yeah, that man is
so
committed.
Good as that character. He's absolutely committed.
Yeah.
You know, like we said last week, they let him ad-lib his death scene, which was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's exactly how a teenage kid would react, you know, when he knows he's dying, essentially. Right. That is one thing to maybe point out is all of those characters didn't technically die, right?
Right.
They all kind of faded from existence.
Right.
And it's a big distinction because if you read what the writer of Avengers 4 is saying, he's saying all the dead characters are dead. All the dead characters are dead. That's it. Which to me says, okay, Loki's dead.
Yep.
Heimdall's dead.
Yep.
And I mean, that's it.
Idris even went on his Twitter account and said farewell. Like
he did. I didn't see that.
Yeah, he even gave his little farewell, you know, thing for Heimdall. He's like, I'm gonna miss my boy Heimdall. So, you know, it's over, folks.
So why isn't he playing Spawn?
Yo,
come on.
Yo, he is definitely open now. He is on the market.
Yeah, my man could be Spawn. Of course, my man could also be Jon Stewart.
He could.
If he wants to keep doing comic book movies, I don't get the feeling that he would. But he could be, especially if it's like a horror movie Spawn. Yeah. Please.
You make all the money need to make up front, then you can make your own movies at the end. You know
what
I'm saying?
That's right. Come on, son.
Come on, son. And, all right, so what else am I geeking out? I'm geeking out about God of War. Holy crap.
I was loving the fact that I finished one part of it before you did, even though you finished the story before I did.
Yeah.
And I got to see that little bit at the very end. We won't give the spoiler away, but
yeah.
If you've played through God of War and you finished the story and you haven't gone back to his original cabin, just pause the podcast right now. Go fire up your PlayStation. Go back to the cabin and watch what happens. Then you can come back and listen to the rest of the podcast.
Yeah.
Or listen to the podcast while you're doing that. Whichever way.
Either or.
Make sure you go back to the cabin because there is something else that happens.
Yeah.
That, yo, just go do it. That's all I'm saying.
The story is thick. It is thick, guys.
It is.
And I don't know. I don't know if we talked about this during the Infinity War review, but that little homage that they gave, those little Easter eggs that they gave to Infinity War, by inserting the Infinity Gauntlet and the stones in there, oh, so rewarding, guys! It's rewarding. If you have an opportunity, just look it up. They'll tell you where to find the pieces. And it's a nice little Easter egg, and it's just beautiful. It is. Street sweeper, that's what I call it. Yeah, but God of War, man. Oh, they really did it. They really did it. This is a reboot, guys. Like, I'm saying.
Oh, totally. Totally.
This is on. I remember when the new Tomb Raider came out, felt the same way. I was like, yo, man, these stories are so involved now. I just remember, like, even how, like, I don't know, God of War has always been an epic franchise to me. Like, just the whole, you know, references to mythology, you know, you always wait for the cameos, who's going to show up, what gods, goddesses, demigods are going to show up in this game, you know. Tomb Raider was always kind of straightforward, but like these reboots that they've been doing for these games, incredible. So I'm looking forward to anything else that they do for God of War. I'm looking forward to anything else they do for Tomb Raider. Like, I'm excited for gaming this year.
Definitely looking forward to a couple of things that we got coming. You know, with Detroit Becoming Human, and then later on this year we got Red Dead 2.
Red Dead 2. We got Spider-Man. I got a pre-order Spider-Man. Now because I want the Infinity War suit.
Darksiders 3 is coming.
Yo! Oh!
There's a lot of good games coming this year.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, this is the year of the game.
No doubt.
Yeah, yeah. So, what about you, Professor? What you geeking out about?
You know, there hasn't been a whole lot lately, but I will say this as far as, you know, going to some throwback and looking at some stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for something to watch while I was doing some work today, and I started watching Daredevil season 1 again on Netflix.
Nice.
Man, that was so good. It's just so good.
Yeah.
You know, I've been watching that the whole way through again, and I'm just loving watching it again. I've already watched it through like 3 times before. This is probably my 4th time watching through again. I just love it.
Yeah. That hallway fight scene is the stuff of legend.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's what I got going right now.
Cool. All right, man. Let's dive into some reviews. We're gonna finish it all out. You know, we had a couple of spoilers in that geeking out session, but that's cool. You know, I'll tell you guys to skip to the reviews basically. And then
we kept it sort of clean for the most part. But probably safe to skip to this point if they're not waiting.
Yeah. So for those of us just joining us back, hey, what's up?
Welcome back.
You didn't miss anything. We'll dive into some reviews. Got some TV, Netflix, and Hulu reviews coming up. Keeping them simple, short, and sweet. Dear White People, got to finish that entire series over the weekend. It's 10 episodes. It is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I mean, like, every episode is poignant, and every theme hits hard. Like, you want to talk about character development? This is one of the few shows that I watch where I'm thoroughly satisfied with the character development. And each show focuses on a different character. And just to watch where they develop. I mean, we're talking about, like, we got themes of, you know, gender identity. Got themes of you know, abortion. Themes of police brutality. Just identity in and of itself. In your college years, like, it's a very powerful piece, and the guy Justin Simeon, he does some really good callbacks to the original Dear White People movie, which is, I mean, it's great. There's some man in the mirror moments that are just great in this series, so check it out if you got some free time. 10 episodes, it is worth your time, folks. So check it out.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., man, have you been keeping up?
I have been keeping up.
Woo!
I have been. It's getting crazy.
Whoa!
You know, and we're going to stay spoiler-free on these, I guess?
Ah, man.
There's a nod to the movie in the last episode.
Yeah. When you think that the shows have completely been done, they're not linked to the MCU anymore, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes in and surprises us in an epic
and
way.
And says, Yes, they are.
Yep. So now I don't know what to expect moving forward. So, well, I don't know what to expect for Luke Cage. I don't know what's going to happen with Cloak and Dagger. I don't know. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it's all one universe. What are we going to get? I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say, man. We don't know. Because you don't know where they're all tying. But I imagine we're going to see some tie-ins.
Yeah.
At least in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think we'll see some tie-ins.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because so. I know, like, the Netflix shows tend to be on their own timeline.
Right.
Runaways was on its own timeline.
Although, apparently, there was another article this week where the Russos said they were almost going to include the TV, the Netflix show people in the movie.
Oh.
They just couldn't figure out a way to do it that would have made sense. And they kind of, you know,
kind of sit back and say, well, maybe we have too much in this already. Let's not throw these on the top of it.
All they could have easily did it in that those last couple of sequences.
Yeah,
it would have been perfect.
You could have had some of the familiar characters together and have something happen to one of them, you know, like what happens in the movie, and it would have made perfect sense.
It would have made perfect sense. It would have been a series of different scenes. You just watch random people on the street going through the same thing. You watch people from the Netflix going through the same thing. Yep. You watch people from the series going through the same thing. It wouldn't have, like, people wouldn't even have to recognize them. We just know that this is a global event. This is a cosmic event that's affecting everybody in the universe. But all the people that have been invested in this would have seen those characters and flipped out.
That's what I'm saying. All for me would have taken one scene.
Yep.
In the office, Matt and Foggy. Matt's doing something, and all of a sudden his head perks up, and he kind of starts freaking out because he can hear what's going on. And then something happens, and you know, I want to say it, but I can't because I don't want to spoil nothing in case people haven't seen it yet.
But something happens.
Something happens. To one of them, just that quick little scene would have been like a 30-second scene, maybe.
Yep.
Would have been nice just to add that continuity to the world, to the movies.
Yep.
To say that, hey, it is, we are all one family. We are all one world. There is a chance this is going to show up somewhere else down the line. So don't you fret. We're still thinking about it.
You know, yep.
So.
Because I feel like the separate movies are the separate movies, but the Avengers movies have repercussions all over the MCU, and they've made that apparent. You know what I'm saying? The Sokovia Accords affected everybody. You know what I'm saying? The Chitauri invasion affected everybody. It's referred to as the incident.
The incident. I was just going to say that.
So I expect for Infinity War to have very large repercussions across the MCU. And yeah, so absolutely. It's not even just domestically on Earth, MCU Earth, but this is going to be felt in the cosmos, like even with, you know, Guardians. So, you know, I feel like they can do it. Just make it happen for us.
Yeah, they should at some point.
So, yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is worth it this season. This season has been crazy.
It's been very, very good. I'm hoping they announce soon that it's been renewed, but it's been so good the last couple of seasons. I really hope they keep it going.
Yeah, I feel like they're keeping it under wraps because they're treating, like, at the end of Avengers 4 is going to kind of be a soft reboot. So that's what I'm kind of hoping happens with S.H.I.E.L.D. There's like a soft reboot almost. But potential, like, sure. They keep it relevant within the universe, so
right. That's it.
So Flash is up next, which is, you know, look, Flash, this is what I expected to happen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm feeling like, yo, man, we're doing these reviews. Like, I feel like we need to just dive in it. And it's just like the second half of the show. It's just, it might just be like spoiler riddled. I don't know what to tell you folks. Like, we're assuming when you listen to us, like, you've already watched these shows from the previous week.
Right.
And if you haven't watched it in a week, at least you get to catch up with it on the weekend. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I really want to dive into this because I think I am. So we're going to tell you right now, there are some spoilers ahead. We're going to talk about these things, and you guys can bail if you want, if you haven't watched the show yet, but I'm ready to dive in. So we skipped Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we gave y'all a pass on that one, but that's Flash, right. Supergirl, Arrow, we not going to do it. Sorry. Nope. So here we go. So Flash, when we talked about this show, like the first couple episodes and even getting into the middle of the series, I told you that the Thinker's downfall was always going to be the treatment of his wife. Yep. And they are finally having it come to fruition. I was like, yo, this man is going to fall because of his disdain for his woman. Like, yo, you cannot treat the woman who's been ride or die with you this entire season like trash and not think that she is going to slap you in place. Like, yo, she rolled off on a chair. I was like, see?
It is on. And she did it with some confidence. She was like, oh, no, son. No, you can't get. No, I'm good.
Yep.
We're not done, but I'm leaving. We're not done, but I'm leaving. Yep. Just so you know.
And they had this key moment in the episode where I knew it was going to go down. It was when they was doing a flashback and he was like, I'm nothing without you. I was like, yo, you done set up your own demise, dog.
You just did. Yep. Yep. You let us know what was coming.
Oh, man. And this is the thing. I like the contrasting. Like, basically, we looking at like four different couples here. Like, not even four. You can even argue five. Like, we got Joe and... And what is Harry call her? D.A. Cecile. He calls her by her full government. Yo.
By her full name.
you got Joe and Cecile. You got Barry and Iris. Cisco and Gypsy. And then you got I would argue you have Killer Frost and Caitlin.
Yeah, I would give you that.
Yeah.
I would give you that.
And you watch, like, the dynamic of these different couples, but the biggest contrast is Barry and Iris and the thinker and his girl. You know what I'm saying? And it's, like, the solidarity. Like, yo, Iris has become, like, a character that's so important to Flash. Like, when they say, like, you know, it's kind of cheesy when they, oh, we are Flash. But it's cute. You know what I'm saying? But it's so important because, like, Iris grounds Barry and there's a respect there and he understands that. And he's like,
yeah,
like whenever Barry starts tripping, cause he's had his moments this season.
Oh, totally. He, yeah.
He's like, yo man, come on, man. What are you doing? Like, and Iris is like, honey, you gotta chill. You gotta roll it in. Cause you tripping right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he gets it together. Clifford, on the other hand, he like, oh, I'm bad all by myself.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, Cliff, let's see how you could do by yourself.
Yep, exactly. She's like, he's so bad, you think of everything. Did you think of this?
Guess you didn't think of that, huh?
Yeah.
Yo, man.
That's going to be interesting, man, to see how she plays out in the next episode. They're coming up on the finale, I think, right?
Yeah, we get close. Another week or two? Yeah, we're getting close.
So, is she gonna do her own thing? Is she gonna jump in with Team Flash? What is what's her next part in the story? Is what I'm really curious about.
Yeah, because Clifford out here losing his mind. He has completely missed the objective here.
He's gone off that deep end. But he kind of expected him to go once he got everything he wanted. He kind of went over that deep end. He kind of knew that was going to happen.
It's that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
You know, killed Ralph, and that was it.
Yeah, that was a hurt piece.
That was brutal. That scene was brutal.
He was like, I know how to, when he had that last line he gave to Barry, he's like, you already saved me, Barry. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, Barry's like, I'll save you, and he says, you already did.
I was like, no. No!
Trying to figure out, though, now that I think about it, the man makes his whole body rubber. Why didn't he just let the thing dip through his head without penetrating?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, come on.
I don't know. There's definitely logic flaws when it comes to these stories. Because I know that they have to, like, all right, we need to push the story along. So we can't have him consider doing this. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's the same thing. Even if you think about it in Avengers Infinity War. It's like Thanos is fighting so hard because he's like, oh, we need to do population control. There's not enough resources for everybody. But the argument could be made like, yo, Thanos, just, why don't you just create more resources?
Yeah, just dump the resources.
Why you got to kill everybody? So, you know, it's like, So it's like there's logic flaws, but, you know, for the sake of moving this story forward the way that they want, they have to do it like that. So
true.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing where Flash goes. Coffee shop girl at the end of the show, she's like, shows up with the wedding, with the baby shower gift, and then she disappears when who comes over? When Barry and Iris come over?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yes. Yeah, so somebody comes over and she dips. And then you see her leave. And she leaves in a trail of lightning. Now,
yeah.
Did you peep the colors of those lightning bolts?
Red and yellow, wasn't it?
It was purple and yellow.
Oh, purple was Iris's when she.
Yeah, purple was Iris's lightning.
Yep,
and Barry's is the yellow. So it's the all signs are pointing towards her being the child of Barry and Iris. So I don't know. They might surprise us because they always do that. They get us so close to the precipice, and then we have these assumptions, and then you know,
nope,
you know. Because they did that. They did that with Jay Garrick. They did that with Jay Garrick. They had us thinking one thing, and then we got close up to the precipice, and I thought it was somebody else, and then it ended up being Jay Garrick anyway.
It ended up being Jay Garrick anyway. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's good though, man. They keep us on our toes. They don't. Yeah. Too obvious. It's sometimes like, they do. There've been a couple times where we're like, "Yeah, we knew.
Yeah,
we already knew what that was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, we all knew season one that." Harry was going to turn out to be the Reverse Flash because they basically tell you halfway through the season.
Yeah, like, yo, that reveal was so... I was like, dang, y'all going to do this that early? Okay, all right. But then it was, like, complicated because it wasn't really Harry. It was Eobard.
It was Thawne,
looking like Harry. So, yeah, but, you know, I digress. So so let's go on to so Supergirl is kind of like come into a fever pitch. We're getting to the point now where all the world killers have assembled. There's three of them, and I mean, it's not looking good. Like, it's looking doomsday-ish. So Supergirl already got handled by Rain, so I don't know what she's gonna do against three world killers. I mean, she knows the cape tricks now. Mon-El taught her the cape tricks. And he's rocking his original costume from the comics, which is pretty cool. But yeah, man, I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting for the big battle. That's all I'm waiting for this show. So, yeah.
I can't lie. I'm still not watching it. I was just going to let you go. And I'm still not watching it.
Yeah,
get ready for a big battle. I ain't watched a minute of it. I ain't watched a single episode.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I'm kind of interested with how all of this is going to unfold. I love the fact that they brought John Jones's father on the show, and he's the guy that does the voice of Martian Manhunter on the Justice League animated series.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like there's some nods to the original stories and stuff from previous times that just really make that show worth watching, like seeing Dean Cain as Kara's dad and seeing the original Supergirl as her mom. Like, these are all cool things to me. You know what I'm saying?
There were some nice touches they did early on when I was still actually kind of watching it.
Yeah. So, we'll see how the... it's airing tonight, so I have no idea what's going to happen. But, yo, I'm going to keep it funky with you. Like, it's not looking good. Like, we already saw Supergirl get handled by the World Killers. I don't know what she going to do with World Killers times three. Like, they all together, and they heal each... Like, yo, man, come on. Like, yo, like Superman had Doomsday, and that was Doomsday. He eventually got him. Yep. I just don't see it's so bleak. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Look, I'm gonna spoil it for you. She wins. Sorry, everybody. I'm spoiling the outcome.
Spoiler
Supergirl
alert.
Supergirl wins.
We get picked up for season, what is this, three?
Three or four. Yeah, like, sorry.
Yeah.
I know people were looking forward to it. She wins somehow.
Oh, man. I didn't put Black Lightning up here, but that series ended a couple weeks ago. The series didn't end. The season ended. It got picked up for season two. The season ended really strong. Like, it started picking it up. Because I told you when I first started watching it, it was good, and then it kind of like plateaued, and then it was just like, all right, y'all, like I need y'all to pick up more of the superhero end of this.
Right.
And they weren't doing it. And then all of a sudden they just kind of dived into it, and it just picked up and went into overdrive. So the whole family, except for the mom, got powers. And I'm like, this is how it should be. This is how it was in the comics. I'm ready for this. This is what I wanted. I was like, they're introducing characters in here. The Tattooed Man is on there now. Like, oh, and the way that they set the Tattooed Man up was pretty dope. So I'm looking forward to season two, seeing where it goes, seeing who the other metas are in those tanks. You know, I'm kind of disappointed that basically some of the showrunners went back and said, oh, all those Arrowverse references we made, they were just jokes. Like, nah, come on. Don't do that to me.
Yeah, that's kind of
cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like, just put it in there. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not asking y'all to have crossovers like every other episode, but let us sit in the same universe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's no reason for it not to when it comes down to it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm loving that show. I'm definitely ready for season two. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
It's on Netflix now, too, so you can binge watch that whole season.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, that's how you want to do season one. You definitely want to binge watch it. It's worth it. So check it out. Then we got, you know, I'm going to end it with Arrow, but we'll jump into Gotham. Because have you been keeping up with Gotham? I don't think you've been keeping up.
Yeah. No, I don't like Gotham, ultimately. I don't like the way the character's done. I don't like the stories. I haven't been a fan.
They brought Jerome back.
I did see all that. The new, I saw the part where Jerome, you know, this is like 2 weeks ago, so if this spoils it for you, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, like we told you this was spoiled.
Yeah, guesses the twin brother, and his face gets all funky as he's turning into the Joker.
Yeah,
with really bad CGI. of course, it's DC, so I guess it's suspect really bad CGI.
Dang. Shade.
Well, hey, man, it is, isn't it? Like, come on. The CGI ain't been good. I saw bits and pieces of it here. I don't know what it is, man. I just don't like the show. I think I'm
enjoying the arc, the Joker arc, because it's still up in the air. You never really know. Like, they always make these nods that the Joker is more than just, you know, a physical being. Like, he's this entity that looms over Gotham. He is the embodiment of Gotham's discontent. And I always like that aspect of both the Joker and Batman being more than just a man. Like, they're these entities that are always in combat within Gotham. And Gotham is always the battleground. So it's like, I can get with it. It's weird to see, like, because, like, you know, the comic lore is like Joker really doesn't have any backstory. So it's like, just when you're getting used to Jerome being Joker, they move over to Jeremiah. And it's like, I don't know, it's intense, man. It's intense. I like it.
You know, I think part of it for me is when the show started, it was about Gotham. It had nothing to do. Bruce Wayne was just a character on the show. Not a good character, in my opinion, but just a character on the show. And from what I've seen as the years have gone by, it's become more and more apparent that he's now the main character on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's less about Gordon. It's less about the city. It's more about him and, you know, his menagerie of bad guys that are popping up every season. And I don't like him at all. I don't like the kid who plays Bruce Wayne. I think he's a whiny little brat.
Dang. I feel like that's what I expect. That's what I expect from Bruce. That's what I expect from Bruce until he becomes Batman. So until he dons the iconic cowl, until he comes back from whatever world travels that make him the man that we know, I expect him to be a spoiled, bratty rich kid. And that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see, like, he's taking those first steps, though, into being the Bruce Wayne that we know. There's still so much to learn, though. You know what I'm saying? And they always said it at the beginning of the show. The showrunners always told us, like, look, when this series ends, it's going to end with him putting on the iconic cowl. Now, we thought, like, yo, he was about to put on some kind of cowl or mask, and that was going to be the end of it. But it's not the one that we know. So it's like,
it's still a mask. He's still pretending to be Batman, essentially. I'll bring back A's again, and I will say something, nothing more than corny. The show is corny.
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, I'm really digging it. Like they're making some choices here that I'm like, well, I probably wouldn't have gone that way. But if you look at the show and you treat it like an Elseworlds, like this is not the main story that we've been given for years. This is like an Elseworlds type of, this is like a Gotham by Gaslight type of deal. This is that kind of deal. So if I look at this as a separate from the main lore, I'm good. So that's how I swallow that pill. All
right, fair enough.
I'm not feeling it, but that's all right.
And then to round it all out, let's talk Arrow.
That episode, however, was
bananas, man. That was crazy.
I forgot all about dude with the masks and whatnot. I legit thought that was Tommy. I was waiting for dad put me in the Lazarus pit, and I've been around ever since.
Right.
I was waiting for that Tommy Ollie reunion, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, they didn't do it.
Probably wise.
Yo, Ollie was shook, yo. He was shook.
He was totally shook.
He said, I knew that they were going to get him. I just did not expect to see Tommy's face today.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, that's real talk, yo.
That was tough. Yo. That was tough on him.
Yo. But let's talk about Diggle going in and handling business in the beginning, yo.
Right.
Yo, Diggle was handling business. He came in there to save the human target. Came up, where were they at? I can't remember where the location was.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But he came in there laying waste to that whole crew. He came out of the off the parachute, was popping cats. Like, yo, it was beautiful. Oh man. But yeah, it was cool though that even at the end of it all, the whole team got behind Ollie, even though everybody's separated right now.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, cuz that's what I was worried about. I was worried about whether or not the other team was going to still be petty. And I'm glad that they weren't. The guy Diaz, man, that guy is crazy.
He is an interesting character. Yo. Definitely a bloodthirsty type character.
Oh man, let's talk about the Dark Knight reference, because basically Diaz is Ollie's Bane.
Yeah, basically.
He said the line was, he was like, oh, you think you're dangerous because you've been you were in hell for 5 years. He was like, I was born in it. I said, no. No, they didn't.
Yep.
No, they didn't.
I straight up, as soon as he said it, said out loud, all right, Bane. Like, straight up said it out loud in my apartment. Because that's what it was.
And it's like, they've been doing this dance. They've been doing this dance since season one. Like, between Ollie being Green Arrow and the links to Batman. Like, we got the Lazarus Pit. We got Ra's al Ghul. We got Deathstroke, like all of these Batman characters, and basically this is a Batman show, but it's not.
Right.
And then like just to dig in a little bit more, they make the Bane quote. And it's just like, oh man, guys, come on.
It's something else. It's something else.
It's forgivable, but I can't say that it's not annoying.
It is a little bit. There's no doubt. It's like it'd be much easier, much better, I think, for fans if you actually came up with your own stuff rather than kind of stealing the stuff from the others. Because you're blatantly stealing it. Like, that's literally the line that he uses, a blatant steal from Dark Knight Rises. So
yeah. So yeah. But all in all, it was a very enjoyable show. I loved it. I can't wait to see what happens this week. Because Diaz got to go. They got to put that man down.
Well, you know, at some point they will. The question becomes, is they put him down, or does he end up with Argus, you know, somewhere where he's not going to be seen ever again?
Right. Put him on, put that ball on Leanne Yu if it's still there.
Exactly. in that hole under Leanne Yu.
I was so mad at Earth 2 Laurel, because she made a fundamental bad guy mistake. because she comes in and she's about to take out Diaz, and I'm like, yes, she's about to do this. She takes out the henchmen, lays them all down, she picks up the gun, and all she has to do is pop this man in the chest, come up close, pop him in the head, call it a day. But what does she do? Like every other bad guy, she gotta talk.
She's gotta monologue.
Gotta do the monologue. And then Diaz gets up, cancels out her powers, and slaps her.
Yep.
And I'm just like, missed it.
Bad guys never learn.
They never learn.
Never learn. Do your stuff first, then you monologue.
Then you can talk. Doesn't matter if they hear you. All you want when you catch a body.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So, yeah. But I'm excited for this week's Arrow. I don't know. All my geeks out there that watch Supernatural, Supernatural has been mind-boggling and blowing. I mean, like, I really didn't think the Scooby show episode was going to be good, and it ended up being, like, probably one of my favorite episodes in the series. No, second to the episode where they focused from the car's point of view, that was a good one. That was a nice experimental filmmaking piece. But yeah, the Scooby episode was epic. And where the story is, I'm just like, yo, look, I don't know what's going to happen after this. We are talking Endgame Armageddon level. Like, we have already reached this point maybe 5 times in this series. Like, yo, let these boys retire. So I heard they got picked up for another season. Like, that's, where?
That's another one I've never watched, to be honest with you. I know very little about that show. Yeah,
yo, it's like one of those shows where it's just like, if you're in it, you're in it. Like, anybody else coming into this show brand new would say, like, yo, this is ridiculous. This show needs to stop. But if you've been here since day one, you're like, I know it needs to stop. But I can't stop watching. So I'm like, I'm loyal to a fault. Like, even though I have no idea where this next season is going to go, I'm still all in. So, yeah. Supernatural. There it is. So, yeah, man. I think that will do it for today's episode.
I could throw a little quick shout out as far as, depending on when you're listening, if you're a Destiny player, the new expansion for Destiny comes out on Tuesday the 8th. I don't know a whole lot about it because I haven't played in a little bit, but I will be playing the expansion because I did buy it previously and didn't even realize until I looked today. Basically, it looks like we're headed to Mars. They're going to reopen Mars, and we're going to check out a new version of the Hive. Some kind of frozen Hive has taken over Mars. And they're trying to take over the Warmind. So if you're familiar with Destiny, you kind of know that there's the Rasputin Warmind is this massive computer that's, able to kind of plan wars and things of that nature. So the Hive are trying to destroy it before it can be used against them. So, new gear, new weapons, new content. Always good with Destiny. If you never played Destiny and you like the first-person, like, Call of Duty-type shooters, but you kind of like a little more of a role-play aspect to it with a futuristic feel, Destiny's definitely the game you want to play. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that's coming out. You know, I'll give that a run-through of the next day or so. Maybe next week I'll have a little more to tell you about it.
Yeah, buddy. So there it is, folks. That's it. So, that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all of our various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, and YouTube, The Boss's Desk. We also have this podcast up on iTunes and Google Play, so you can hit subscribe. We'll put it up in the show notes. Click on it, subscribe to us, and you'll get updates whenever we release a new episode. So, yeah. If you have any questions about anything you heard on the show, or any news you want us to talk about, send us your questions on Twitter. Just tweet at The Boss's Desk or send us an email to questions@thebossesdesk.com with your question, and you can hear us share it right here on Geek News of the Week. I want to create like a whole section for it, so it'll be like questions from the Boss fam. So yeah, so that is it for us here at The Boss's Desk. We'll catch you guys next week. Later.
See you.